In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God does not see things the way that men see things. God, speaking through the prophet Isaiah, tells us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." In the second gospel reading, we see this illustrated very clearly because we have a contrast of two men, and the contrast couldn't be more striking. As men would view the scene, on the one hand, you had the rich man who had everything. He's living well. He's living the life that we all wish that we could live. He's living in ease, luxury, although there's nothing that indicates that he got it by theft or by mistreating anybody. But he had a great deal of wealth, and he enjoyed it. And he was surrounded by servants who waited on him hand and foot, and it says that he ate sumptuously every day. And on the other hand, you have a beggar named Lazarus who had nothing. He was poor, and he was diseased, and he was surrounded by dogs that licked his wounds, not by servants that were waiting on him. And he would have liked to have had just some of the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. He was about as pitiful a person as you can imagine, and not in any condition that any of us would want to trade with him. And when they died, the rich man no doubt had a fancy funeral. He was buried in a casket that was very expensive, choice wood, metals, buried in fine robes, and probably praised by all the people in the town that he lived in as being such a great man. Whereas Lazarus, probably, if he was fortunate, would have been buried in a pauper's grave, and if not, maybe just left to the wild animals. But certainly would have been buried without any fanfare. But the scriptures tell us that God saw this in a very different way, and that began to be revealed at the time of their death. For one thing, we're not told the name of the rich man because the rich man's not remembered. He's not remembered by God. The poor man, we remember his name because his memory was eternal. And he wasn't buried in great fanfare, but his soul was carried to paradise by the angels. The next scene that we see the rich man tormented in Hades, and we see Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. And there we see that the soul of the rich man was poor, that it was diseased, it was covered with sores. And he, throughout his life, had really been surrounded by the demons that had blinded the eyes of his soul. And he was spiritually starving due to a lack of the spiritual bread of reading and obeying the Word of God. Whereas the poor man, who outwardly was poor, was clothed in the robes of righteousness, he was strong in faith, and he was well fed on the Word of God. And when they died, that exterior appearance that men see was erased, and we see the reality. And we see that now the rich man is the beggar, because the rich man, all of his life, he had looked down on people like Lazarus, and here we find him looking up from Hades in torment, and he's begging. And he's not asking that he be allowed to pass over to the other side. He's not asking for a bucket of water to help him with the flames. He's just asking that Lazarus would dip his finger in some water and touch it to his tongue. That's how desperate he was. And so the shoe was very much on the other foot. It was as if he would have liked just the crumbs that were falling from the table that he could see in the bosom of Abraham. But his chance to cross over from the lot of the wicked to the reward of the righteous was before him every day. All he had to do was to cross over his yard, walk out of his front door, and go to his gate, and there was Lazarus. And all he had to do was to share with him the goods that he had, the goods that God had blessed him with. But he had made his choice. He had chosen not to cross over to Lazarus and to take the side of the righteous in this life, and so he had all of eternity to share the lot of the wicked. In my secular job, as I mentioned, from time to time, I deal with child support, and I get lots of great sermon material from my secular job, which is one of the reasons why I keep it. But one day, not too long ago, I was talking to a guy who was trying to explain to me why he didn't think that he ought to have to pay child support. And his argument was, well, she knows that I never wanted to have children. Well, there was a time when he had a choice about whether he was going to have children, and that was before he decided to conceive those children. But when he made the decision to conceive those children, whether it was with any reluctance or not, that die was cast. He now had children that he was responsible for, and whether he likes it or not, until that child's 18 and out of high school, he's going to be paying child support, and if he doesn't pay his child support on time, he may be paying it for quite some time thereafter. Some people wind up paying for it for the rest of their lives because they get in the hole, they don't pay, and then that interest starts mounting up and they just dig themselves a deep hole. Some guys also have so many cases like this, they have so many children with so many different women, and they don't realize how the law works until it's too late. And now, in some cases, they may have an astronomical percentage of statutory child support they're supposed to pay, more than 100%, and nobody makes more than 100% of what they make, so it's impossible for them to pay what they did. But the thing is, they made choices, and at a certain point, when you make choices, you have to live with the consequences. And of course, these are choices that can ruin your life. But the choice that the rich man made was a choice that ruined his eternity. This life is temporal. But when we choose to reject God, when we choose to live a selfish life and live only for ourselves, we will pay for that for all eternity if we do not repent. We need to ask every day, how does God see our lives? When he looks at us, what's the reality that he sees? There's the reality that we think about our lives, the reality that maybe other people see, but that's the external reality, and it's a passing, fading reality. And it will be exposed as phony if we do not have the life that is in Christ that the beggar had. This life is not meant for us to spend our lives on ourselves, on our selfish wants, on our desires. This life is for us to prepare for the next. Now is the time for us to cross over from the lot of the wicked to the lot of the righteous. Now is the time for us to feed the beggar that's at our door. Now is the time for us to do good with the things that God has blessed us with. Today is the day of salvation, because if we wait until this life is over, it will be too late, and we will have all eternity to regret that choice. Amen.